Off the ball, rugby.
I was a halfback at high school purely because of my size. The only place they could put me in the team as we had at high school was as a halfback.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to a special edition of Friday's Rugby Daily from the Aviva Stadium after Ireland's 10-point defeat to the All Blacks. My name is Richie McCormack, and on the way, reaction from both the Irish and the All Black camps after tonight's game. Andy Dunn provides his specialist view, and we'll also hear tonight from Razzie Erasmus out of the Springboks test with Scotland at Murrayfield on Sunday. And so Ireland must regroup with the Pumas in town a week from tonight, and they know they cannot afford to be as profligate again. Ireland head coach Andy Farrell summed up the mood after the game.
Well, I think it's easily summed up with the mood of the dressing room, really. Pretty sombre, as you would expect. The lads are gutted, and we're all gutted together. I thought we'd prep well, train well. I thought we was excited about the game, and we was. And we didn't manage to put our game out on the field. Now, obviously, the opposition have a big say in that, but I thought we compounded too many errors and almost pressed ourselves a little bit at times, and the energy wasn't, or the accuracy wasn't, what was needed to win a big test match like that.
Captain Caelan Doris says they paid for not sustaining that pressure early in the second period.
Yeah, happy with the start of the second half. That was kind of the message at half time, was that we felt we hadn't really fired a shot, and we got momentum back early on in the second half, and the message was very much stay on that, stay with it. But their quality side, obviously, and they came back. Our discipline gave them entry and territory and possession, and they came back into it in the second half.
Ireland conceded 13 penalties to the All Blacks 5, and Farrell believes that was hugely costly.
You know, we'll get a few answers in regards to clarification of a few of them, but it doesn't really matter whether it was wrong or right, or we still shouldn't have suppressed ourselves a little bit. You know, it's not right to try and be desperate chasing your tail when you've made an error, whether it be a penalty or a drop ball, and then compound that error with another error, and all of a sudden field position's completely gone, and you know, points come on the back of that. And we did that a number of times, you know. So we need to fix up our mentality as far as that's concerned, you know, getting back to neutral and getting after the ball back the way that we want it. We became a little bit too desperate, and on the back of that, the energy wasn't what was needed, or the accuracy, well, both of them, obviously.
There was an early flashpoint in tonight's game, as All Blacks captain Scott Barrett taking exception to something he believed Joe McCarthy perpetrated on Damien McKenzie.
I don't usually take exception, but I saw something that was, below the line for me, and I had to make a point of, it's not tonight you're targeting our 10 like that, so... I think I was getting up from a ruck, and it just, from where I saw it, it looked like Damien was on the ground, and I think Joe, you know, cleaned him up. So from where I saw it, it looked like it was around his head, and whether it was or not, I'm not too sure. I guess I took exception to that in that moment. It may not have been, but
And Barrett enjoyed the Irish challenge to their haka.
Yeah, I think we've got a number of guys within the squad that can lead the haka, and it was Reeks' first opportunity. And, you know, we love it, and we've certainly seen the English, they walked forward, and the Irish did that as well. And I think you can just hear the atmosphere of the crowd really getting behind it, and it just, you know, sets the tone for what's installed the 80 minutes following, yeah.
And when a team does move forward, do you prefer that, or do you like it when they...
I guess it's them saying they're up for the challenge, which is great, which is what test match footies are about, especially up here in the north, playing the best teams at home.
Tonight must go down as the biggest win to date of Scott Robertson's time in charge of the All Blacks. He was asked if it was the most astute 80 minutes of game management that he's put together.
Yeah, look,
because obviously before every game we could have won this year, and it was we just got to a couple of moments where we'd still be better too, Greg. but we there's a couple of key moments where we got the ball hit the ground, put pressure on their lineup, got a couple of scrum penalties that swung the momentum back our way, which sometimes we've gone the other way.
And speaking to around Owen Sheehan after tonight's game, Andy Dunn believed the All Blacks targeted this game from a long way out.
Oh, I think it's a game plan for today against Ireland. They don't play like this all that much. They didn't play like that. It was quite a reductive game plan, even compared to how they beat us in the quarterfinal back in Paris. But it was along those lines. I think it was the entire success of the game was predicated on slowing down our possession. When we had possession, every single time they tackled us, they swarmed over the tackled Irish player. They slowed possession down, and we just couldn't get any momentum. And I think I felt for Crowley, and I felt for Frawley, and I'd be quite forgiving. I think both of them were quite below par, but it's really, really difficult when you're getting that kind of slow, stultified kind of possession. It's very, very difficult to do anything creative against a black wall and an onslaught of defence. And so, you know, I think what's been levelled at both Crowley and Frawley is they seem to aimlessly kick possession away, but they hadn't a whole lot of other options, and that's not entirely their fault.
Away from the Aviva and Leinster lock, Orgie Snyman is among the Springboks bomb squad, along with regular captain Sia Khaleesi, for Sunday's test with Scotland at Murrayfield. Franco Mostert replaces the injured Ruan Norchip in the box second row in one of a number of changes from their final rugby championship outing against the Pumas. In the front row, Thomas Dutoit replaces the injured tight head Franz Malherbe. There's an all-new back row compared to the last outing in Mbambula, with Khaleesi, Peter Steph Dutoit and Jasper Visa kept in reserve. Andre Pollard replaces Manny Libbock at out half, while Razzy Rasmus can afford to field an entirely different but yet top class back five. The box head coach, however, insists Scotland will not be taken for granted.
I don't want to sweet talk or give you a cliche answer, but I really think a lot of people, Scotland, think they're going to win on Sunday, you know, and we know if we're a little bit off our game, we're in for a very, very tough, long day. You know, and as he said, the aura of Murrayfield, and people forget the aura of Twickenham, and, you know, just when you drive to the field and there's horses in front of the bus, there's a lot of things like that plays the role in the way the crowd are and the way you handle the pressure and stuff like that. And a guy like Finn is just so comfortable there, and it looks like, you know, he's running an orchestra there. So sometimes it was 6-3 at halftime. You know, Marnie had a no-look kick, and he caught it, and we pulled away, and we got another two penalties, I think. So, you know, that's not a big margin. And they're number six in the world. I remember when we took over in 2018, we were six in the world, and within a year and a half, we won the World Cup. So things can change very quickly. I think Australia can, like this, turn it around if certain things happen. Yeah, I think the All Blacks, as you can see, England almost beat them, and everybody said England was on a downward slope. So I wouldn't say the gap is getting bigger. It's just phases where teams are. And sometimes I know people like rebuilding with that word, but it's just some guys are getting old and younger guys come in, and coaching staffs changes and philosophies changes. And in that, I think all teams like to peak in the World Cup while trying to win everything. So the rankings almost for me in the first 3 years towards the World Cup, it's almost a bit irrelevant. It's just if you can try and win every test match, you know, and build squad depth. That's what we're trying to do. So we don't look as much to the rankings as we should. So I think a number 16 can beat a number one or two team on the day, definitely.
Erasmus was asked if he still needs to maintain an element of fear within the world champion side.
Yeah, I think we're definitely trying to move away from the fear of losing. I think we all have fear of losing, because you're representing your country, and same with the Scottish players will be the same, and the Scottish coaches will be the same. But I think we're trying to lean more towards the fear that we did not leave everything out there, that we don't have regrets when we sit in the change room afterwards and say, but we played within ourselves, or, you know, yeah, we weren't brave enough to try something or to do something. But we all have fear of losing. It's never nice, you know, what happens after losing. But yeah, we try not to make that our cornerstone. More not disappoint people in the effort that we put onto the field.
So that Springboks team to face Scotland in Edinburgh will have Billy LaRue earning a 98 cap at full back. Kanan Moody and Mikosli Mapimpi are on the wings. Lacanio Ann and Andre Esterhuizen are in midfield. Andre Pollard and Jaden Hendrickson are the halfbacks. It's a front row of Oxen Shea, Bongi and Mbanambi, and Thomas Dutoy. Eben Etzebeth and Franco Mostert are in the second row. Marco van Staden starts at blindside flanker. Early Glow is on the open and Quagga Smith is at number 8. Scotland are able to recall their top Quatorze and Premiership contingent who were forced to miss last week's defeat of Fiji. So Blair Kinghorn returns on the right wing with Finn Russell named it out half. Glasgow fullback Tom Jordan will make his first start for Scotland, having been introduced off the bench against Fiji last week. Scrum half Ben White returns alongside Russell in the halfbacks. Gregor Townsend has opted against tinkering with his pack for Sunday's game. So Tom Jordan starts a fullback, Blair Kinghorn and Duhan van der Merwe starting on the wings. Hugh Jones and Sione Tuipulotu in the week he signed a new contract with Glasgow are in the centre. Finn Russell and Ben White are the halfbacks. It's a front row, Pierce Schoeman, Ewan Ashman and Xander Fagerson. Grant Gilchrist and Scott Cummings packed down in the second row. And it's a back row of Matt Fagerson, Rory Darge and Jack Dempsey. Blair Murray has been included in Wales' starting lineup for Sunday's Autumn Nations opener against Fiji. The uncapped New Zealand-born winger, who has played just 6 games for the Scarlets, is included ahead of the experienced Rio Dyer for that clash in Cardiff. Ben Thomas moves to inside centre following 2 fly half appearances during the summer tour of Australia, while Gareth Anscombe is reclaiming the number 10 shirt. And Warren Gatland believes Murray has settled in well to their group.
Yeah, look, I think he's been playing well for Scarlets. I know he hasn't had a lot of games. You know, coming through probably the New Zealand system in terms of their pathway system and that, so we were pretty excited when he decided to commit to Wales. Probably what he does give us that we haven't had for a while is he gives us a left foot option as well, playing on that left wing, and we haven't had that for a while, so just being able to mix that up a little bit and been pleased with the way that he has been playing his footwork. He's been scoring, you know, scored a couple of nice tries as well, so. And he gets touches and is also defended exceptionally well, you know, not for the biggest person in the world too.
Wales haven't won since a 43-19 victory over Georgia in October of last year during the group phase of the World Cup. But Gatland doesn't want to overburden a relatively young squad with expectation.
I think we're all aware of where we are. And we've spoken internally about how important these first 2 games are. And all I can say is that from the first week in terms of the way the players have applied themselves and trained has been excellent. We had everyone in for the first 3 days. It was a little bit disjointed sort of Friday and Saturday without the English-based players, and then we've had players in this week, and just been pleased with the whole attitude, and the players are well aware of how important the next few weeks are and sort of building some confidence on what we've done as a group, but also with that experience coming in back into the squad, and yeah, just been really pleased with, you know, just how everyone's fitted in.
That Wales team is Cameron Winnett full back, Mason Grady and Blair Murray are the wingers, Max Llewellyn and Ben Thomas are in midfield, Thomas Williams and Gareth Anscombe are the halfbacks. It's a front row of Gareth Thomas, Dewey Lake and Archie Griffin. Will Rowlands is alongside Adam Beard in the second row, and it's a back row of Tane Plumtree, Tommy Reffel and Aaron Wainwright. Staying in Wales finally, and their women's head coach Ian Cunningham has stepped down after 3 years in charge. They finished 3rd under Cunningham in last year's Women's Six Nations and qualified for WXV1 that year. This year, however, they finished with the wooden spoon and only a 2-point win over Italy to show for their spring. Wales won just 1 of their 3 WX2 fixtures this year, beating Japan in Cape Town. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you for your charge Monday to Friday. My name is Richard McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to the Bank of Ireland on Monday. Till then, thanks for listening.